Welcome to the Sports Zone on WHRU-LP 101.5 FM Huntley Community Radio. I am your host, Anthony Collada, and we've got another packed show for you guys this week with some trade deadline information in the NBA. We got some news around some players around a couple of leagues here that I'm not going to spoil right away. I'm sure you guys already kind of know, but we'll get there. As we start off this show, I've got a can't believe that actually happened kind of moment this week. And it comes out of Virginia in a high school basketball game where a 13-year-old girls basketball game got canceled because their assistant coach, who is 22 years old, put the jersey of one of their players who was out of town. She put their jersey on and was out there playing with the 13-year-olds. She's 22. Now, as a fellow 22-year-old that, you know, I used to play sports. I'm not playing sports anymore. I still want to get out there. I understand, but come on. You can't do it with a bunch of 13-year-olds. That's just cheating. Like, man, I understand the drive. I understand the want, especially, you know, when, you know, they're 13, they're young, and you're trying to teach them, but they don't listen as well, and you could just, I know I could go out there and do this. Well, you can't, though. You can't. So, assistant coach Arlisha Boykins, she impersonated the player, wore the jersey, and, you know, after they realized, wait, hang on. This chick is way bigger, way faster, way stronger, and she is dominating out here. Something's not right. And sure enough, it was a visiting game. No administration was there from their team, so nobody could tell except they finally wait, hang on a second. Where's this chick's birth certificate? Just, it's like, really? Like, what made you think that that was going to work? It's just one of those moments. I understand. I would want to be out there too, but you can't. Come on now. So yeah, can't believe that actually happened moment. We had a fake DoorDash driver last week. Now we've got 22-year-olds playing in 13-year-old high school games. What is going on in the world? Someone help me out. Some news around the NBA as we approach the NBA trade deadline on February 9th, and Tuesday, I believe it is. Kyrie Irving was the first domino to fall this year, as he requested a trade out of Brooklyn earlier in the week, and then come the weekend, he was in Dallas. I think this kind of took a lot of people by surprise. They especially expected him to end up in L.A., whether it be the Clippers or the Lakers. I think both of those teams were decent fits. But everyone was expecting him to go to the Lakers to re-team back up with LeBron. And, you know, that was the overall consensus. But when it came down to it, Brooklyn, they felt that the offer from the Dallas Mavericks was the best that they could have gotten. They got Spencer Dinwiddie and Dorian Finney-Smith. So two very solid role players. Finney-Smith, a great 3-and-D guy. Spencer Dinwiddie, he's been in Brooklyn before. They're familiar with him. He's, you know, a good combo guard, someone that's going to fit well with Kevin Durant. And then they pick up a first-round pick, a couple other second-rounders, and you just look and you combine their offers with some other teams. You know, Clippers, they had a couple of first-round picks involved and some lower-tier players. The Lakers offering, you know, maybe a pick or two, and then Russell Westbrook was kind of the big name. And so you look at Brooklyn, and I agree that Dallas offer was probably the best offer. And then you have the GM of the Nets kind of comes out, and whether this was really his thinking or not, but he didn't necessarily want Kyrie to go to the Lakers. He didn't want, for whatever reason he didn't want Kyrie in LA. Now, with Kyrie in Dallas, the reason I was surprised is I don't necessarily see the fit here. Luka, Kyrie, two guys that, you know, when they're on the court, they're going to have the ball in their hands 80-90% of the time. I mean, I get it from Dallas's point. You need another, you know, superstar next to Luka Doncic. I mean, when Dallas wins and Luka goes off, you look at the rest of that team and there's a lot of times that they don't even score double digits. There's not a single other player that scores in double digit points. So I get, you know, going after the best player available. Just not, I don't know how it's going to work with Irving and Luka. They both seem fired up to, you know, make it work. So I definitely think it'll be an interesting An interesting pairing, and you know, they're right up in the top five in the conference, so I definitely think they're going to compete, and honestly, I don't think they're done with the trade deadline. So a couple of days, some hours to make some moves, so we'll kind of see what they do there. It was interesting, though, that the reason Kyrie wanted out. Everyone talks about Kyrie Irving, you know, being this prima donna, that he doesn't work anywhere he goes, and he lies, and blah, 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 whatever. But it actually came out that the Nets, they were trying to work out a contract negotiation. Kyrie wanted to stay in Brooklyn, and the owner, they made it. They're like, you know, we're not extending you unless you guys win a championship this year. That's tough. I mean, come on. This is an NBA player that is, yeah, he's had his problems in the past. You know, the vaccine, he didn't play last year. But this year, he's out there no matter what. Kevin Durant's been hurt. Kyrie Irving, he's kept his mouth shut. He wants to be in Brooklyn. He wanted to make things work. But when you give him that, like, there's a back and forth here. And it's no different than if, you know, you go to a job and they say, well, you know, we might bring you back in a couple of months. We might not. It just kind of depends. I get, you know, kind of wanting to get out of there. Kyrie, he's painted in a bad light a lot of the time, but honestly, I think he gets too much, but that's just my opinion. I know there's a lot of people that disagree on that, so we don't need to get too far into that. But yeah, so Kyrie, the first big domino to fall in this NBA trade deadline this year. Some other names to watch, most importantly, is Kevin Durant. Now that Irving's out of Brooklyn, Durant, little banged up. Teams, hey, you know, is Kevin Durant available? You've got the Suns, you've got the Boston Celtics interested, so that'll be a big domino to fall if it does end up happening. We'll kind of see there. February 9th is the Thursday, so that is when the trade deadline is, so expect a lot to be going on in these next couple of days. Golden State Warriors all-star guard Steph Curry, he's going to miss a couple of weeks now with a leg injury. It's a tough blow for Golden State. You know, they haven't quite lived up to expectations this year after being so dominant over the last several years. You know, they're hanging around. They're, you know, eighth in the West, trying to for that play-in game. They're 27-26, and now you lose your best player. So you've got Jordan Poole, who, you know, he plays really well when it's his time to start and to play, but obviously, you're never going to be able to make up the production of Steph Curry. So Golden State, they're going to have to tread some water for these next couple of weeks, and hopefully they stay in the fight in the West. And they get him back, you know, then you go from there. He'll get some rest. Hopefully he comes out firing and there's no rust. But, you know, Golden State, All-Star weekend coming up, so you're starting to get to that halfway point. You're going to have to watch how they fall in these standings with Curry being out. And then around the NBA, we had NBA Fight Week this week. Two separate occasions this week where two teams, you know, they had benches clearing brawls. Dylan Brooks and Donovan Mitchell in their game, Memphis against Cleveland. Mitchell and Brooks, they've had their problems in the past going at it. You know, Memphis against Utah, with Mitchell being in Utah previous to this year. So they've had their go at it in the playoffs and regular season games. And pardon my language a little bit, but Dylan Brooks is a scumbag for this one. He got fouled on a layup, no problem. He hits the ground, but he decides to roll, and he just keeps rolling and then flings his arm up in the air and knocks Donovan Mitchell right in the waist area. It's dirty, terrible call. This isn't the first time that Dylan Brooks has had something questionable like this against him. I'm honestly surprised he only got one game. You don't go below the waist. Like, there's a lot of things, like, men that we'll take. Don't hit me below the waist. Like, come on now. Mitchell, only fined for the interaction. I'm surprised Brooks only got one game. But here, now they're both in the same conference. So these two teams, you know, these are guys that don't like each other. And, you know, so we'll have to pay attention to those next matchups with these two. And then the other fight of the week, A little more involved here. Mo Bamba and the Magic against Austin Rivers. Austin Rivers, you know, he's end of the bench kind of guy. He picks up minutes here and there, electric kind of spark guy. He missed a couple of threes and whatnot. And Mo Bamba on the bench for the Magic, after one of his shots, he goes something along the lines of, "You're not in high school anymore," which high school. I mean, that's been like 7 years now at least for Austin Rivers. A little weird there, but, you know, just the constant jabs at Austin Rivers throughout the game. And I guess he just snapped and he went after Mo Bamba. And Mo Bamba went after him. And then all of a sudden, the entire benches were gone. Punches were being thrown and whatever. It was NBA Fight Week. I mean, it's Mo Bamba suspended 4 games, Austin Rivers 3 games, and rookie guard for the Magic, Jalen Suggs, was also suspended a game. So just NBA Fight Week this week, I guess. All-Star break's coming up. These teams, they're a little antsy. They need a little bit of a break. They're kind of getting tired, worn out. Tempers are high maybe. Who knows? But benches clearing in basketball. Really? Come on, guys. So as we take a look at our top 5 performances of the week, I've got a 5A, 5B for you guys. 5B, we're going with Giannis. He just continues to be MVP, one of the best players in the NBA. On Thursday, he went off for 54 points and 19 rebounds in a come-from-behind victory over the Los Angeles Clippers. And then on Saturday, Giannis went for a triple-double to secure the Bucks' 7th straight victory with 35 points, 15 rebounds, and 11 assists. Here, he's one of the most dominant players in the NBA, and he continues to show it week in and week out. I mean, what else do you have to say? And with the 5A, the reason I, you know, kind of put these two together is Luka, same thing. 53 points, 8 rebounds, and 5 assists. He knocked in 5 threes, and he shot 71%, so really efficient in that victory for Luka. And, you know, just like Giannis, another one of those guys that doesn't matter. It's every week. He's going off. And, you know, now you look at it. Now Luka's got some help with Kyrie Irving. They might not be done making moves. So Dallas trying to stay afloat in that West and keep moving up those rankings. Number 4 of the week goes to Atlanta guard DeJounte Murray, who put in a career-high 40 points against the Portland Trail Blazers. And in his first season with the Hawks since being traded from the Spurs, he's averaging 21 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists. So he's, you know, very solid player. He was in San Antonio, and he's just one of those guys that there was no help in San Antonio. He was there. He's always flirting with triple doubles. You know, he's good all-around player, and you get him out of San Antonio. Greg Popovich was great to him. Hey, you know, it's time for you to move on here. You know, you're not going anywhere here with the Spurs. Let's go help you out. You know, go help yourself out. They found a partner with the Hawks. He teams up with Trae Young. You've got a good 1-2 punch there. You know, now once one goes off the court, you're not losing anything at the point guard position. One of them can play the 2 guard as well. So a good pairing there in Atlanta. I was a little curious to see how that would work, but ultimately I think it's worked out to this point. Atlanta, another team, you know, right in those rankings in the Eastern Conference. Number 3 this week is the 21-point comeback for the Orlando Magic to snap the Philadelphia 76ers 7-game winning streak. The Magic, you know, they're one of those teams that they're always bottom feeders, but you can kind of tell over the last 2 or so years that they're kind of starting to come around. They've got some nice younger talent, and they're always competing. I think they're going to have the Rookie of the Year right now on their roster in Paolo Banchero. You got Franz Wagner and his brother Moritz from Germany, who, you know, some promising young guys there. They got Wendell Carter in the trade from the Bulls for Nikola Vucevic a couple of years ago. So they have some young talent on that team. You can tell that they're starting to make strides, but, you know, they're still a couple years away. They're young, but I do think that you might be seeing a turn a little bit in that organization who's just, they've been bad for so long. Number 2 of the week, Anfernee Simons dropped in 9 triples on Friday to end Washington's 6-game winning streak. This is the second time that the guard has dropped 9 threes in one game. To this point in the season, he averages 22 points, and he's shooting almost 40% from 3. So he's shooting it efficiently, and he's really become a good number 2 option for Damian Lillard. You know, I've mentioned it a couple of times. I know it's just been a constant conversation throughout the NBA is, when are we going to get Damian Lillard some help? Simons, you know, I think he's now in his 4th or 5th year. I thought he was actually younger. He's starting to pick it up. He's starting to learn the NBA here, and he's starting to become a good number two option. Number one this week goes to Cam Thomas of the Brooklyn Nets, who put in 44 points off the bench, a career high 44 off the bench for Cam Thomas, who, Kyrie was out, Durant was out, Ben Simmons was out, so somebody had to pick up the scoring, and Cam Thomas did. He became the third youngest player ever to score 40 or more points off the bench. He is just 21 years old, 21 years and 114 days old. So good young future for this Cam Thomas. He's shown some spurts, but, you know, when you play with Kyrie, Kevin Durant, James Harden, these are guys that they demand a lot of attention on the offense. You're not going to see as much there from Cam Thomas, but definitely some promise there in that young kid. And before we jump over to our NFL news here, we take a quick break for station ID. You are listening to WHRU-LP 101.5 FM Huntley Community Radio. And I think the news that everyone was kind of expecting, Tom Brady, he announces that he's retiring, quote, for good. Now, I think we heard this last year, right around the exact day, I think. I literally think it was February 1st, both years, that he announced his retirement. But supposedly this time it is for good. He finishes his career as the GOAT. Let's just be honest here. A 7-time Super Bowl. He had 3 separate Hall of Fame careers. Let me just read you this. When he was in his 20s, he threw for 21,500 yards, 147 touchdowns, and 3 Super Bowl wins. In his 30s, he threw for 40,000 yards, 309 touchdowns, and won 2 Super Bowls. Oh, in his 40s, when he was supposed to be washed up, he only threw for 27,600 yards, another 193 touchdowns, and won 2 more Super Bowls. So you literally could have just put this guy in for 1 decade and he'd be a Hall of Famer. And he's a Hall of Famer in 3 decades. It's crazy. He has never, I found this so interesting, he never played a single snap. 15,914 snaps played where his team was ever eliminated from the playoffs. Every single snap that Tom Brady played, he was at least a possible Super Bowl contender. That's insane. Whether he was the quarterback, receiver, or running back when he lined up there a couple of times throughout his career, he never played a snap where he was out of contention. Absolutely insane. He doesn't have a losing record to any other team in the NFL. He's beaten every team. You know, he left New England. He's 1-0 against New England, so he's beaten every team. The only team, his worst record against any team, is the Denver Broncos, and he's 9-9. Doesn't have a losing record to any NFL team. That's 32 teams. It's just insane. And, you know, a little nostalgia here. It's the end of an era, really. I mean, you've got Aaron Rodgers, I think, still left. He's still, you know, even a little younger than these next couple of names. But here, the quarterbacks was younger growing up watching, the Manning brothers, Big Ben, Philip Rivers, Drew Brees, now Tom Brady. Like, it's an end of an era for quarterbacks. I mean, these were some high-level quarterbacks throughout the 2010s, and Brady's kind of that last one to fall, and he outlived all of them. I mean, that's 2000 to 2023. That's quite a career, but we're not getting rid of Brady. Don't worry. He's not going away anytime soon. He signed a 10-year deal last year worth $375 million to be Fox's lead play-by-play guy. Yeah, that's a lot of money. Cool. Everyone expected Tom Brady to be the number one guy on Fox, whatever. But he made $333 million in his career playing. And now he's going to make $375 million after playing. Plus, you know, endorsements and everything else he's got going. But it's insane. He's going to make more money as a broadcaster in 10 years than he did as a football player for 23. Insane. I mean, yeah, he took a lot of discounts. His wife made a lot of money and, you know, throughout his career, so he was able to help build teams around him, but still, $375 million is insane. One note quickly there, Greg Olson, I do feel sorry for him. He was Fox's lead play-by-play guy color commentator this year. He did a phenomenal job, and it's Tom Brady. Unfortunately, the way, you know, Olsen didn't do anything wrong. It's Tom Brady. Though Brady did say that he's not doing that until 2024. So he's taking this year off and then he'll be in the booth for Fox. Some more news around the NFL. Sean Payton, he was traded from the Saints. He retired, took a year off, and you know, a lot of teams, he was interested in the Super Bowl winning coach, and it was Denver who ended up trading for him and signing him to a 5-year contract. So now the Broncos, in 2 off seasons, have given up 3 first-round picks, 3 second-round picks, and 3 players for Russell Wilson and Sean Payton. I respect the double down. You know, you went all in for Russell Wilson last year. It didn't work. I do respect the double down. Does it work, though? You know, Sean Payton, now you've forked over a bunch of money and a bunch of picks and players for a coach and a quarterback. I do think Sean Payton might be the right guy for Russell Wilson. Wilson was very, this is my team, this is me, this is, I'm going to do my thing last year kind of thing. But Sean Payton, I don't think he's, you know, he's a veteran. He's played with guys like Drew Brees, some you know, high-profile guys. I don't think he's going to stand for some of the things that we saw in Denver last year. And then we actually have a quick MLB retirement as well. Dexter Fowler, the center fielder for the World Series Cubs back in 2016, he actually was the only player ever to lead off a World Series game with a home run. That was in Game 7 that helped propel the Cubs to their first World Series in 108 years. You know, he was a big part of that team. The whole mantra, you go, we go, that, you know, he gets on base in that first inning, and it almost seemed like the Cubs were up 1-0 before they even, you know, take the field in some cases. So just a good table setter for the Cubs in those couple of years that he was there. Help win them a World Series and get off that schneid. So happy trails to Dexter Fowler and his career. Quick note about the Super Bowl, as, you know, that is this week. The first Super Bowl was in 1967, and the average ticket price for that game was $12, which, equivalent to today, is about $100. Can you imagine going to the Super Bowl for $100? Man, that'd be nice. Yeah, except now, this year's average ticket, $6,000. And that's the average. You know, there's tickets there for $50,000, $60,000, $70,000, and then, you know, you got a couple that are probably in the lower $1,000-$2,000, but still, it's insane. But it's the atmosphere, it's the spectacle. I do think at some point I want to go to a Super Bowl. It's one of those things that you have to do, especially for me, someone that loves sports as much as I do. But $6,000, that's a lot, man. But it's just crazy that how much these ticket prices have changed over the years. But Philadelphia Eagles, Kansas City Chiefs, I do think it's going to be a good game. I don't know how you bet against the Chiefs. I don't know how you pick against the Chiefs. I mean, you look at it, they've got probably the 3 best players in the game. Mahomes, Kelsey, and then maybe like a Chris Jones or something on that defensive line. But you've got the top players. How can you go against that team? I think it's going to be a really good game. Philadelphia will have to win a much more team-oriented. They'll have to play much more team-oriented than the Chiefs will. Whereas, you know, with the Chiefs, you can rely on Mahomes and Kelsey, and you'll probably do okay. So, I don't really have a pick. If I had to guess, I'd probably say the Chiefs, but I think it's going to be close. And I don't think the Eagles are going to come out and lay an egg like everyone expects them to. So should be a good game, and I look forward to talking about it next week. And as we wrap up our show with our LeBron watch, and I think we are we're finally there, folks. 36 points away. Recording this on a Monday, so it's going to go live on a Tuesday afternoon. He's got a game that night against the Oklahoma City Thunder, and then we've got another game with LeBron on Thursday against the Bucks. So both of these games are at home. So check there that he was going to do it at home. 36 points against Oklahoma City. I think that might be a little much. OKC, they don't want to let it up. So I think they're going to come out firing. Honestly, I think it's just a matter of when LeBron wants to do it. Because you had the game with the Bucks on Thursday that was already going to be on TNT. Now they've bumped this Tuesday game on Oklahoma City also to be on TNT. So here, he's in LA. He's going to be on national TV. it's honestly just a matter of when he wants to do it at this point. You know, the Crypto.com arena, not Staples anymore, it's going to be packed both days. Everybody's going to be watching it on TV both days, so it doesn't really matter. If I had to guess, I would say he's going to come a couple points short on Tuesday, and he's going to do it on Thursday because there's only four NBA games on Thursday. And I think that game is the only game that starts at 9 o'clock. So he'll be the only one on TV. Everybody will be watching. If I had to guess, that'll be it. So the points watch, he also became fourth all-time in assists, passing Steve Nash. So he was already top five in assists, so he's going for number one in points. Now he's number four in assists. And they asked him, they're like, so is that the next one? Are you going for number one assist? Nah, he doesn't really care about that. Now, I'm honestly a little surprised that he kind of said it that way because he's always considered himself a pass-first guy. He's not a scorer, but he doesn't care about the record. So obviously, you know, it doesn't matter. It's number four or number 10. He's the number one point scorer. So the fact that he's even up there in assists as well is insane to begin with. So it's happening this week. I definitely think it'll happen this week. It's just a matter of which day he picks, honestly. So stay tuned for the Sports Zone next week. We'll have a recap of the Super Bowl. We'll keep following along with the trade deadline as that'll be official. And then be talking about the LeBron record. So stay tuned for the Sports Zone next week.